The Gemara writes that a person only becomes a Rosh in this world if he has already become a Rosh in the world of Ruchnios by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are different opinions about what is meant by a Rosh. According to Rashi, a Rosh means a poor person, a person who is bereft of friends, of companions. And the Gemara's Kavana is that a person who in this world is bereft of companions, who in this world has more enemies than friends, that's a siman that in Shemayim also he has more enemies than friends, that he's bereft of the companionship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in order to read the Gemara this way, Rashi understands the word is being resh shin, a rosh, as in a poor person, as in ashir varosh, ani ve'evyon. That's a rosh, a poor person. If a person is impoverished of friends in this world, that's a siman that he's impoverished of friends in Shemayim as well. However, the Ramah has a different interpretation. The Ramah says that anybody who becomes a Rosh in this world, anybody who becomes a leader, a figure of authority in this world, it's a siman that he's a Rosh, he's impoverished in Shemayim. And this is something which needs more explanation. And the Ramah himself points out the tremendous difficulty that is posed by this statement of Gemara. Does the Gemara truly mean to imply that every leader, everybody who's elevated to a position of authority, is impoverished of the companionship of the Ribono Shel Olam? Chas v'chalila. The Gemara already excludes David HaMelech and Nechemya ben Chachalya from this statement. They're excluded, according to Rashi. Even though they had many enemies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loved them. According to the Ramah, even though they were figures of great authority, they still had HaKadosh Baruch Hu's companionship. But whereas, according to Rashi, we're not troubled by the other leaders of Klal Yisrael, whom we venerate as great tzaddikim, because although they were leaders, they were popular leaders. They had more friends than enemies, and therefore we cannot interpret their leadership per se as a siman of their lack or loss of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's companionship. According to the Ramah, who says that anyone who gains a certain measure of authority in this world loses HaKadosh Baruch Hu's companionship, how are we going to explain Moshe Rabbeinu, who is a tremendous leader, Yeshua? How are we going to explain Ezra HaSofer? How are we going to explain the whole dynasty and dynasties of Malachim, who were righteous and whom the Navi attests to their righteousness? Surely, the Gemara does not mean to condemn these exemplary leaders of Klal Yisrael to friendlessness in the world of Shemayim. In order to answer this question, the Ramah is Mechadish, that there's more than one type of leadership, there's more than one type of Roshos, there's more than one type of Srara. And the Ramah limits, he narrows, he constricts the scope of our Gemara's discussion to one out of five types of leadership. First of all, the Ramah distinguishes between, on the one hand, a monarchy, and on the other hand, what we might call a theocracy or something similar. Says the Ramah, David HaMelech and Nechemya ben Chachalya, and everyone in their position, were monarchs. They were Roshim, they were authority figures by virtue of their authority. It's somewhat circular. We'll get back to it a little bit more later. But that was where their authority derived from. Or at the very least, it derived from the people, from the acceptance, the consent of the governed. Or if not from that, then it comes from a combination of consent of the governed and consent of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Or Nimshach al Pinavi. In contrast, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua and the Shoftim and Shmuel and Avi, etc., they were all monarchs by virtue of their Torah or of their Nevuah. There are two separate sources of authority. There's authority that derives from the consent of the governed, or authority that results or that comes from divine conferment of power on the one hand. And on the other hand, there's authority that derives from Torah and authority that derives from Nevuah. And when the Gemara says that authority figures are Roshim Milmala, that they lack companionship in the Olamos HaRuchniyim, it only referred to the former type of authority and not to the latter type of authority. And indeed, the Ran in his Drashos makes a similar distinction, where he writes that a monarch whose authority derives from the consent of the governed is in reality, he's not a free man. He's a slave of the people. And the people can remove his authority if they so desire, if they withhold their consent, even though I believe this is a larger shaila, whether in Jewish law, whether a monarch can be impeached or whether he cannot be impeached, whether he can be removed from office. Big shaila. But the Ran seems to write in his Drashos that just as consent of the governed gives the monarch his authority, withdrawal of that consent constitutes a withdrawal of monarchic authority. And therefore, says the Ran, a melech cannot be mochel on his kavod, because he is a servant of the people, and as such, the kavod that he bears is not his own, but it's theirs. And he is not allowed to be mochel their kavod. He's totally in their hands. But a person whose authority derives from Torah, or a person whose authority derives from Nevuah, certainly is a bailim over their authority. There's a very good chance that they're allowed to be mochel not only on their dignity, but even on their authority. And certainly, says the Ramah, they are not Roshim Milmala. These type of authority figures are certainly very much beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua, Shmuel HaNavi, etc., do not pose a challenge to this Gemara's statement. The Ramah further differentiates between the authority, the Srara, the Roshos of Nehemiah and David, and that of Moshe and Yeshua, by writing that Moshe, Yeshua, and Shmuel, kol ma'aseyem hayu al pi adibur, their authority was not an independent authority, an authority which was used or intended to be used in order to implement decisions made by the finite human intellect. The authority of these figures, of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Yeshua, of Shmuel, was authority that derived in its totality from the Dvar Hashem. It was authority which had no autonomy whatsoever on the part of the leader, on the part of the king, on the part of the authority figure. Rather, it was that the authority figure, that the king, the leader, was simply a channel for relaying the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And any decision which was made and enforced was in reality a decision that was made by divine will, and not by human intellect that was merely sanctioned by the divine will. It was a decision itself which came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not a decision which came from a person whose decisions were approved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, once again, says the Ramah, authority that derives al pi hadibur certainly differs markedly from authority which derives from investiture of a person's autonomous decisions with power. The Ramah further differentiates, and here we won't be marich so much, but he differentiates between a decision made, or rather, he differentiates between a king who is the first member of a dynasty and a king who inherited his authority. The Ramah says that the Gemara was only discussing the initial king in a dynasty, as David HaMelech was the founder of his dynasty. Nechemya ben Chachalia was the first. There was no one who preceded him in his authority position. These are the type of people that the Gemara is discussing. Most, says the Gemara, most people who are Rashim, who have Svara, and who are the first in their line to have this Svara, who didn't inherit it from their ancestors, will be bereft of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's companionship. However, inherited authority, authority that's passed down as a Yerusha, is certainly like any other Yerusha and does not reflect at all on a person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there are halachic differences in other ways between the outset of a dynasty and the continuation of a dynasty. At the dynasty's outset, so there needs to be Shemen HaMishcha. If a person inherited the monarchy, there's no need to anoint him. He receives it as a Yerusha. Very likely there are other differences as well. What this points to also is perhaps a monarch who inherited his authority derives that authority from a different source than a monarch who's a first-time monarch. But David HaMelech, maybe, let's say if we pull this through the Drasha Saran, David HaMelech perhaps could be impeached, but Shlomo HaMelech cannot. Because David's authority derives solely from consent of the governed, whereas that of Shlomo perhaps derives from the consent of the ancestors of the governed. And that's not something which the present citizens of the nation can rescind. Yesh la'ayin, it's unclear. But perhaps, right, the Ramah is drawing such a distinction. We find this distinction with regards to Shemen HaMishcha as well. Perhaps there can be other nafkaminas, including possibility of impeachment between the outset of a dynasty, the continuation of a dynasty. Again, if our reading of the Ramah is correct, that the distinction between these five types of authority is not merely a distinction in name, but a distinction in terms of what the source of that authority is, then it would certainly be reasonable to make further distinctions. And what are the five types of authority? There's authority from Torah. There's authority through Nevuah. There's authority which is merely the implementation of the explicit divine revelation of the Dvar Hashem to the Navi, or to the leader. Those are the first three types. And the latter two types are monarchic authority that don't necessarily derive from Torah or Nevuah or Dvar Hashem. But there's the outset of the dynasty, which perhaps derives authority from the consent of the governed alone. And then there's the monarchy which comes as a Yerusha, which perhaps derives authority from something other than merely the consent of the present generation of governed individuals.